As I was listening to the video, I was thinking this guy's going to jump all over my message today, and he was on it. And so it's sometimes you think, maybe I should have been a little more aware that it's Easter tomorrow, and you think about the things that we must do as Christians. Today, I just want to say, have you ever heard people say, "I forgive you"? You've heard that when they're getting ready, someone's been injured in a wreck, and the guy doesn't ask for forgiveness. I was on at a jury trial one time, and the person that was injured tells the guy that was convicted of manslaughter, she says, "I forgive you." But how can you, as Christians, do you think God sits up there and says, "I'm going to forgive Brent Erickson. I have not repented. No one's asked for my forgiveness." So how could we give forgiveness to someone? Or how could God give that to us if we haven't asked for it? If we haven't truly changed our lives? So today I want to talk about the most important thing we need to be doing as Christians today. And I'm going to title that, Mr. Scriber sent me, and I could tell you it's a snarky remark, or because it's hard with Mr. Scriber sometimes. He's got that dry humor in a different way. So if you're not face to face, it's always hard. So I titled it, "Eat That Frog," which is the most important thing we're supposed to be doing right now. As Christians, you think about that. What is true repentance? Today, he touched on that in this video about repenting. And I don't know if you guys have had a sermon or a sermon lately on repentance, and hopefully you haven't, but if you have, then I'm sorry. But today I want to talk about repentance, true repentance. Repentant is in the Bible only 167 times. Repent, repented, repenting, repentant, there's five of them. And forgive is in there only 99 times. What is that? Why should I repent? And the definition of repent, when you look it up in a dictionary, is express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. So we should have some remorse. Be sorry, rue, reapproach oneself, be ashamed, feel contrite, out of the dictionary. Viewer, think of a deep regret or remorse. To have deep regret. If we sinned, when we sin, and you're thinking about forgiveness, we should be thinking about these things. That I truly am wrong. I truly regret that I've done this. To turn from sin. We must turn from sin. It's one thing to say, "Please forgive me." Those are just words, don't you think? I mean, we hear words. This election cycle right now, right? We've heard words. So forgiveness is about true forgiveness. Forgiveness is about changing one's way. Change from sin, dedicated to oneself to attend, to admit of one's faults, to feel regret, to change one's mind. And in this video, malice and wickedness. To change from malice and wickedness. Acknowledge what I have done or did. Whether if I've offended one of you people or you've offended someone else in here, you need to acknowledge what you've done. Or we need to acknowledge to God that we have sinned and where we have sinned at. This is a life-altering commitment. So researching this scripture, originally I was going to talk about forgiveness and being forgiven. But I realized that the more you look at it, forgiveness is so much bigger of a topic, and it really requires just one topic. I mean, you could go on for really hours, even though I'm not a long speaker, okay? It's not hours here. I'm a short speaking guy. But at its core, repentance is change. It's turning from perceived self-centered ways of life to serve God and to center our life around Him. We must serve God and center our life around Him. And a lot of the places, I went to some old Mr. Armstrong books and tapes, and I looked at some new stuff online, a variety of places. There's a lot about repentance that you can hunt down if you really want to. There's a lot of things that you can look up really easy on your iPad or your computer right now. And it just, there's a lot of information out there. But to try to figure out how to make it useful for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, you're thinking about is repentance. It's a result of recognizing and acknowledging what Jesus as our personal Savior did to reconcile us from God the Father. To repentance unites us with God the Father and Jesus Christ in an extraordinary relationship. So in Romans 3, verse 23, which is one of our great scriptures, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every one of us in this room have come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all done those things that caused Christ to step before us to be sacrificed for us. Each one of us has. And we're thinking about right now as Passover approaches, at least in my mind, I'm thinking about the most important thing that I need to be doing is to learn to ask for forgiveness, to really look at my mind and to look at my heart and to think about, what am I thinking about? What am I doing? How am I setting that example to my wife and my family and to the coworkers that work for us, and that our family spreads way out? And you think about this church and the closeness that you have compared to, I don't think we have the closeness in our church in Phoenix when there's 200 or 300 members. You just really can't talk to everybody. And we don't have, like you guys have all this food all the time, and you have all this ensemble, and you're singing. And when I first came here the first time, it was, and I'm sure everything's not all roses here. Just like in no place it is, okay? Let's be clear. But it appears from an outsider that it is really special. And in a smaller church, it's special. That you get to really know and see each person here on an individual basis. So where we're at, it's not quite the same way. And so it gives you this really beautiful view. In Isaiah 1 verse 16, it says, wash you, make you clean, put away evil of your own doing from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. Just quit doing evil. Now, obviously, that's easier said than done. We all know that. Like, I've been trying to lose weight. I got on this plan. I've been doing this since September. I've lost, not the big deal, but I've lost 50 pounds. But I changed how I eat. I track what I eat. I weigh myself every day. I track it. I monitor it every single day. So I can tell how many calories I'm eating, how much weight I work out. So if you're tracking, it's just, I've changed. It's in my head. It's not the food, right? It was in my head. So I've changed my head. And I think that's the most important thing we have to do, is just change our heads. Just think about that. In Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift, God gave us this gift. And that's the most important part here. God gave us a way out. God gave us this gift that we could come before Him and ask for repentance. That we could come before Christ died. It was just the priests, right? It was the sacrifices. It was all of those symbolisms that come down through time. But when Christ brought in the New Testament, He brought that in for all of mankind. And one time, I think when I was here, this is for all mankind. This way of life is not just for us here today or the past members of our church throughout time. This is for every man, woman, and child that's ever lived. God's plan is for all of us, for everybody. I think when I was a kid, I always thought it was a separatist thing. And I guess I didn't get that. And maybe my parents didn't teach me that when I was a little kid. We come in when I was 15. But I never caught that part. That it was, and maybe they never knew that. Or I think our pastor one time was Fred Coulter, so I think Mr. Coulter knew. But I never seemed to get that at that age. So it's one of those things that, but God's gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was His gift to us. Each one of us has this gift. In Romans 5:8, but God commanded His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I just have a bunch of scriptures, and I'm giving them to you. I just wrote them down to make it easier. And sometimes my wife's on me; that she thinks I speak too fast, and then I don't give anybody time. So I'll just try to change a little bit here. So turn from sin and ask for forgiveness. It's really the attitude of our hearts. It's how, in every situation, whether you're at work or here in any situation, it's really your attitude. about how we're changing or about how we're growing. It's the attitude that we come to God or Christ and ask for forgiveness for. It's our attitude in each instance. Repentance is a gift from God. That's Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with us his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. So in Luke 3 verse 8, it's the word to bring forth some fruits. When you're talking about changing, and you're talking about repentance, please God forgive me, or however you each of us says that, we've all said those things. Everyone in this room that's baptized has asked God for forgiveness. We all prayed about it. We all read. We all studied. We all talked to a minister about getting baptized. We sat down and counseled. And the thing about it was, is that we had to ask God for forgiveness. And we had to have faith that God was going to wash our sins as he dunked us in that water at baptism. That when we went totally submerged, and then as we come out, those sins, for that split second, in my case, were washed away. Right? They were gone. So how long it lasted, I'm not sure. But we were all, every one of us was pure and clean in the sight of God that moment that he washed those when we come up out of that water. So bring forth fruits. He's talking about in Luke 3 verse 8. Bring forth fruits, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. And those fruits are that we're changing, that we can see our wrong. He was talking in here with the message today about just look at it. We look at our carnal mind, and we don't know God's mind, but as we see that even the thoughts are wrong that we have sometimes, right? In the old days, I thought it was pretty easy. You know, you could go do some, you know, bring your offerings, they're all washed away. You could do whatever you wanted in your head, right? You know, as long as you didn't physically kill somebody, you're pretty good, or you didn't do all of these things, but you had this in your head. Like right now, all the thoughts that we have, you know, we have computers, right? And everything that we think, feel, say is recorded. It's all recorded. It's kind of weird that could, you know, up until the last, 5 or 10 years, probably wasn't possible, but it is today. Those thoughts could be all there, everything. So, getting back to force worthy of repentance, and bring not to say within ourselves, we have Abraham. Let's not bring it and lay it back on Abraham. It's our fruits. You know, I'm from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so I'm good. I'm not good. It's what did I do? Where have I brought the fruits of my labors? Where have I brought the fruits that this year at Passover that I have made some progress? And you could truly see that. And I think I mentioned one time, I have friends that they make their goals not in New Year's time, but they make them at Passover time. And each year they have spiritual goals that they want to attain throughout the year. I'm not saying we do that. I'm just saying that some people do that. And so that you can look now and say to yourself, well, you know, do I come to God only one time a week or so or a few days before Passover and ask God for forgiveness? Could we really wait that long? I mean, there's some things that are going on in our heads that we need to ask for forgiveness for, or the way we treat our spouse or our children or work people that we work with. Our life is about growth and change. Every day, you're either moving forward or you're stagnant. You're done. You got to be moving forward. At work, you know, we'd still be making buggy whips, right? If things didn't change. I mean, you think about changing. Like right now, I've had some work-related stuff where I've lost a big customer. Obviously, I wasn't doing something right with him. Why would he move? Why would he change? Things changed. Maybe his perception changed to me. Maybe something else changed. So it's always about bringing forth fruits. In Ephesians 4, verse 31 through 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, in verse 32, and be you kind one to another. Be kind to one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us or forgiven you. Be kind and forgiving of other people. be a little less. I know with me, sometimes I can be a little snippy, especially getting on a plane. So I had to get a TSA pass so I'm not being pushed around and shoved. And I usually don't even sit with April, so I'm not kind of a jerk to her because I know I'm kind of jerky, but I fly. So if you know that about yourself or phone calls or things, you got to know yourself so that you're not that way. Be kind to people and gentle. In Mark 1, verse 15, it's saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel of God, the kingdom of God. They were talking about the kingdom of God, that our lives are better today than before we were in this church. My life, I can tell you, is 1,000% better. I've exceeded my childhood dreams just because of the things I learned in church, the people I've been around church, and the stuff that I've learned while coming. It's kind of interesting. You look at our families, and you look at your families, how things are. And then you have a sense of, I mean, we have a sense of peace about us. I mean, I absolutely have a sense of, you know, you learn to go with the flow. It's really exciting. Matthew 3, verse 1 through 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John the Baptist set that down before Christ. He said, repent and be ready. Let's go. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Genuine repentance encompasses a comprehensive change in our outlook and direction in my life and yours. It's just a genuine repentance encompasses a comprehensive change in our outlook, our values, and our direction in my life and in yours. Just think about how, if you think about that, how what it really means to just have that change. In Luke 15, verse 7, I'll look this up. I say to you that likewise there be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So God's saying here, the Gospels are saying that the one person that repents, that needs to repent, that there's joy in heaven. Can you imagine what that's like for God, that when we repent and we come before Him, and we ask for repentance and that the heavens are opened up? I don't know how far that goes, and I don't know how much joy there is. I mean, you just think in your own minds. I mean, for me to say that here is not necessarily correct, but in your mind, think about what that means to you. The joy when someone repents or changes their way of life. Not just their situation, but their way of life each and every day. I must humble myself before God. In Romans 7:18, I know that in me dwells no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I thought that was kind of an obscure, different scripture. It's laying around with all these other scriptures like that. But I literally found hundreds of scriptures. And then as I was reading lots of different commentaries on repent, they all kind of moved back and forth. And it's kind of, you assemble this in a way to make sure that at least it has to work for me in my head. I hope it works for you guys in your minds as you listen to this and you take these scriptures down. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither can it be. So we don't know God. So how could we, without being with God, we don't know God's plan. I mean, we see what's written, but we're not on God's plane, right? We're on our plane. It's just us. But when we talk to God and we know God and we study and we look at God's scriptures and we read and we watch these videos and we do the things, and as you guys, as a congregation, we're together, you get to know everybody. I think this is probably the most important scripture I have here. This is Job 42, verse 6. It says, after all of the scriptures, this is the last chapter in the Bible of Job, and you see that Job suffered and his friends, and he's sitting there. And finally, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in the dust and ashes. So throughout all these chapters, it goes on and on and on. And sometimes you think, wow, how could that go so far? And, you know, and obviously God's a little angry with him, like, where were you when I created the cornerstones of this earth? And where were you? And, you know, the whole thing. And finally, in chapter 42, he doesn't get it in chapter 1 or chapter 2, 42, all the way through chapter 42. I think it's kind of exciting that you think about that Job was a righteous man, but God had to show him who was in charge, right? And each one of us can be righteous at certain times or good. But the goal is to be righteous and good all the time, every day. So as we come before God and we wash ourselves with repentance, we have an equal opportunity or a better opportunity. The more that we do that, the often, the more that we can see ourselves. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We read that scripture already, but I thought it was kind of good just to lay it back in here and to see right where we're at. Proverbs 16, verse 25, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of her are the ways of death. Things that seem right in your own head, it's not correct. I can tell you, I think I said this before, the best thing that I ever got for our marriage was a GPS system. I think last time I was here. Because I feel like this should be the right way. And we were just in Hawaii, and I was trying to go see the USS Missouri. And I can tell you, I was pretty lost, because it felt like I should go this way, but that really wasn't the right way, right? I mean, follow the road signs, follow the map, and get it right. But, you know, in my head, I get off course. I'm not sure why it doesn't work for me. But if you think about that, it seems right to you, but it's not. Proverbs 16, verse 25 is, there is a way, I just read that. Repentance, turn from our own ways. Just, it's really about turning away from our own ways and not following what I think is right. Just because I think this is the right way doesn't mean it's right. It's right. God has laid out his path throughout his scriptures for us to follow. And repentance for all Christians, not just us in this room, for every Christian in every organization, in God's church, everywhere in this world, repentance is the key, especially this time for Passover. For us to be clean when we come before Passover, before we take those symbols that Christ has laid down for us, coming up really soon. It's really about us being ready and being prepared for us to be a Passover. John 1, verse 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from our sins. In verse 8. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have friends. I have friends that don't think they've ever sinned. I have a sister-in-law that just acts like that they've never been wrong and never sinned and have said those words. It's kind of weird when people say that. I'm like, really? Like, I know you pretty well, and I'm pretty sure that's not correct. So it's kind of funny, like, when you hear someone say that, it's pretty good, because it shocks you to think that people really believe that. Sometimes we think we're out there, but when you hear people say that, it's so far off base, it is bizarre. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. So clearly, we have sinned and clearly we must confess him. And clearly, God will cleanse us from those. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack in concerning his promise. He's made promises to us, and he's not slack. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is very concerned about us. not only in this church, but in the Phoenix church and every church. And people that are no longer attending this church, that should be, and that God could fill this room next Sabbath, if and when he wants to. I don't know if he's ever going to, but all these rooms, there's been several hundred thousand people come and go since the Worldwide Church of God era. Since Mr. Armstrong, I was listening to the tape the other day about Mr. Armstrong, actually on forgiveness. And it's, you think about all the people that have come and gone, and we all know that any day a catastrophe could happen, or God could just raise them back up. He could spark that light. You think about all the children that are in their 30s and 40s that went to YOU, to YES, that did all those programs and know everything there is to know. That stuff is still in their brain, and God could call them right now. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrows worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world that worketh death. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father call him, except the Father which has sent me to draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we're just talking about that. God can raise them up. God can call them back. They had a witness when they were young. There's been witnesses. This room was filled. You guys had 300 people here at one time, give or take, or more. God could call them back. We don't know. It's always something to think about. And we are all setting that example, steadfast, that we're here every week doing our job. Romans 2, verse 4. Despite thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. God is leading us every week, every day to repentance. And the more we study God's work, and the more we study his writings, and the more we're around other brethren, he's leading us, he's teaching us. I must want to please God at the end of the day. I want to learn God's will, to study God's word, submit to God's life according to his ways. We must yield to God. Each one of us needs to be thinking about yielding ourselves, which is really hard, obviously, to yield to, like with me, like I said, I got that TSA pass. It's very nice because that helps me not be, you know, to yield to someone drives me crazy. Like, I don't understand why it's that way, but it is. And I know that, so I try to work on it. In John, 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we just have to confess to God what our sins are. And the more we know about ourselves, and the more we're real, and the more that we talk to God, the easier it is, and the more in depth that we can be about our sins, and the more God will show us where we can alter our lives, or our thoughts, or our ways, or the things we look at. And when things jump up on our computer that we're not really trying to look at, that we get rid of them immediately, or move on, instead of doing things that we shouldn't be doing. I mean, we live in a horrible age that you can... My wife had this experience the other day where she had to get someone from our IT, which is, we're a small company, and this porn's on her computer, and she couldn't get out of it. She just pumped on something, and it was just there. So if you're inclined to that, then, I mean, it'd be a different story. For her, she did the right thing and got someone to even when she turned her computer off and back on, it still showed up. It was bizarre. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. And 1 John 3 verse 4, whoever committeth sins transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is breaking God's commandments and laws at the end of the day. God has commandments and he has laws. So when we sin, we're breaking those commandments and laws. Just down and simple. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that he keeps his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I think sometimes we think they're pretty difficult and hard. I think it's hard for teenagers when they're not playing ball or doing things on the Sabbath. I think it's hard for us not doing some things on the Sabbath, but they're really not grievous. You think about our lives as Christians, and the things that we get to do as Christians, and the hope that we have in us, that the ease of when someone passes. I've had a brother-in-law and some other friends pass recently. You know that God's plan, and it is comforting to know the plan. While everyone else is having a very hard time with it, you know God's plan. In Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read this earlier, but I think it's really important to think about that, to think about our position with God and where we're going. Matthew 5:23. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka. Sorry, I know you guys will correct me. So I try to get all these words down. Shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And in verse 23, therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and thence remember that thy brother hath ought against thee. So if I'm going to the altar, or I'm going to Christ, and I have issues, and I haven't resolved them, it says, leave, in verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go the way first to reconcile to thy brother, and then come back and give the gift of offering. And in verse 25, agree with thine adversary quickly, just following up, while thou art in thy way with him, lest at any time the adversary delivers thee to the judge, and a judge delivers thee to the officer, and they cast you into prison. And in verse 26, verily I say unto you that thou shalt be no means come out of thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. You have heard that it was said by them of old, time thou shalt not commit adultery, right? But 28, I shall say to you that whoever looketh on a woman to lust after her commits adultery. So, with her already in his heart. So one time, about 10 years ago, I have a member in our church that I hadn't, we're a little sideways, nothing big, but we hadn't really talked for a few weeks. So we go to Passover, and you know, lo and behold, there's several hundred people there. We get teamed up together, and we looked right at each other, which was very weird. And said, well, there you go. We both said it exactly the same time. You know, that was just so stupid on our parts, on my part especially. And maybe his too, but you got to be clear about that. You can't come to Passover and have this against you. And then God thought, well, okay, we'll clear this up right now. Or we'll see what you're made of. So it was kind of, we both said, well, there you go. it was kind of, and I've never forgot that. I was like, you know, you have to think about that sometimes. Romans 3:10 is written, there is none righteous, not one of us. There's just none of us. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together because unprofitable. There is none that is good, none, not one, in verse 12. And in 13, their throat is open, specular, with their tongues, and they have used deceit. Their poison is under their lips. In verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. In 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. In 16, destruction and misery are in their way. Verse 17, in the way of peace they know not. And in 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. You think about not fearing God. So we're about fearing God. We're about forgiveness. We're about changing our lives. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need a lifetime of growth and change. And forgiveness is what brings that to us. When we ask God for forgiveness, it helps us to have a lifetime of growth and change. All baptized members repented, obviously, before baptism. Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. And in James 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Be double-minded. Ye be double-minded. Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his ways, and an unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon us. I must think like God, and I must read, and I must study. In Proverbs 2, verse 15, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide and my commandments with thee, in verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. And in verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge, so I need to be crying after knowledge, and life tests up the voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her for the treasures, then shalt thou understanding be understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it's fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And in Luke 3:3, he came into the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism, repentance for the remissions of sin. And just in closing, I just want to reread the repentance is a personal expression of deep and heartfelt surrender to God. The result of recognizing and acknowledging what Jesus, our personal Savior, did to reconcile us to God the Father. Repentance unites us with God the Father and Jesus Christ in an extraordinary relationship.